Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Extraterritorial obligations versus a classical notion of sovereignty of the states towards the legally binding Treaty on Transnational Corporations and Human Rights. I think it is logical there should be a sort of parallelism. If you have benefits from all these countries, you should also accept to repay in all these countries and allow jurisdiction for the victims in all those countries, said Apollon Coin, senior lawyer of the Center for the Environment and Development, Friends of the Earth Cameroon, in relation to transnational corporations and their human rights abuses. In an interview with Real World Radio, the lawyer said that transnational corporations need to respond to the crimes in the countries of origin, but also in the countries where they operate. He explained the concept of extraterritorial obligations, and along these lines, he questioned the classical notion of the sovereignty of states defended by the European Union, so that transnational corporations are not held accountable for violations perpetrated outside their countries of origin. In this way, he defended the universal jurisdiction principle and stated that this more global view has allowed, for instance, to speak of crimes against humanity and to hold people accountable. Coin was part of the delegation of Environmental Federation, Friends of the Earth International, which followed in Geneva, Switzerland, the UN negotiations on a binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights violations from October the 24th to the 29th. During the official talks, he made a presentation during a plenary session about the issues dealt with at this interview, and he also participated in the different activities carried out in parallel by the civil society. The senior lawyer of the Center for the Environment and Development, Friends of the Earth Cameroon, discussed the importance of the binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights violations, the role of African countries in the negotiations, and their expectations to soon start negotiating the technical contents of the new agreement. Let's now listen to the interview.
Real World Radio is interviewing Apollon Coin. He is a member, a senior lawyer of the Center for Environment and Development in Cameroon. It's Friends of the Earth Cameroon. Apollon, first of all, welcome to Real World Radio. I think it's the first time that we speak to you, so it's really a pleasure. Thank you.
It's my pleasure to answer your question.
Okay, Apollon, you have been following here in Geneva this second session of the working group, intergovernmental working group on transnational corporations and human rights. Could you please tell us which have been the topics that you have been especially following in the official negotiations?
Yes, I think the main topic was the question of the scope of the future treaty. You know that there is a different point of view between UE and the main power states and the NGOs. So we was discussing on the question of the scope of the treaty, and it was really interesting to have all these different arguments on exchanging on this. And the other question was one for me the more important was the question of extraterritoriality obligations. You know, UE used to say we need to respect the sovereignty of states. But concerning human rights, we cannot still have the classical conception of sovereignty. We need to exchange. There are more and more domains in which we have to reconsider sovereignty. Concerning, for example, international crimes about genocide, about crime against humanity, there is today a new perception of the sovereignty. I think this could be the same thing about corporate crime. So like someone said this morning, how is it possible to think something specific for states and another thing totally different for corporate crimes? If we have rules, if we have a new definition of sovereignty concerning political crimes like genocide, like crimes against humanity, you need to have the same sense, the same approach concerning corporate crimes. It was for me really interesting, and one of the panel yesterday was also very interesting concerning, for example, the question of the proof, the charge of the proof. And today the reflection was about how to have the proof and who is finally responsible. Is it the chief executive officer or the moral person, which is the company? On all this, there was very, very exciting things, and we need to focus and continue to debate.
So do you say, Apollon, that, for example, the European Union is using the sovereignty of the state as an excuse, as an argument to say we cannot have a legally binding international treaty because of this national sovereignty?
Yes, of course. The argument is dual. The first thing is to say with just the UNGP, the United Nations Guiding Principles, is very new. It is only 5 years, and we need first to use it and take the time to use it and be sure that it's not sufficient before thinking about another treaty. This is the first argument. And the second argument is to say that we need to respect the sovereignty of the state. But it's not pertinent. You know, you cannot say today that I did a genocide, but because I was respecting the national law. This cannot prosper in front of international law. You cannot say I observe national law, so I did a genocide. Why is it not possible for political crime, and it's possible for corporate crimes? We need first to think. The international law have been moving forward. The conception of the international law, who was international law of superposition of state and international law of cohabitation, is finished. Today we have international law of cooperation. This is one of the main objectives of the United Nations Charter. We are in a period of international law based on cooperation, and that cooperation once more asks to think again the concept of sovereignty, and this has been already done in many domains. So we need to be coherent and do the same thing with corporate crimes.
Okay, Apolline, I would like to, you mentioned the principle of extraterritoriality, and I would like to ask you if you could explain to us this principle, and second, what were the developments or the arguments in favor and against, the most important ones, at least, that you heard here in the official negotiations.
Okay, good. This was the main point on which I did my oral statement during the meeting. The extraterritoriality simply means that we should allow other states to have jurisdiction when a crime is committed. The main argument for those who are against the extraterritoriality principle is that states are equals and states are sovereign. So each state should deal only with the crime in his own territory. It's not true. As I said, we have today the principle of universal jurisdiction. What was done in Spain in the case of Pinochet, what was done in Britain in the case of Pinochet, was based on the fact of universal jurisdiction, so that the principle of extraterritoriality already exists. The second argument is that, you know, the TNCs, the transnational corporation, is an economic fact who does not exist in law, because in concerning law, its subsidiary is a national company. But in fact, when they are doing benefits, the benefits profit for the transnational. Why? When they have benefits, they can have benefits for the whole companies. But when there is starts, when they have to repay, we should focus only for the national subsidiarity. It's not logic, because victims need to have access to remedies. And sometimes, especially in the poor countries, the subsidiary don't have enough means to face the remedies for the victim. So we need to look at the whole transnational as an economic reality to be sure that we have enough means to face remedies. Our suggestion was that we should allow jurisdiction not only for the state of the nationality of the victims, but also to the state where the company have its headquarters and every other state where the company have main activity. I think it is logical, because once more, when there is benefits, the benefits are coming from all these countries, and there should be a sort of parallelism. If you have benefits from all these countries, you should also accept to repair on all these countries and to allow jurisdiction for the victims on all that country.
Okay, Apolline, what could you tell us, please, about the role of the African countries played here in this special occasion and this official space?
You know, the South Africa was with the Equator, the two countries who raised the question and obtained the resolution in 2014. And today, South Africa still have a main role. I was a little disappointed, like a Francophone, to see that there was no Francophone African countries during the meeting. It is a problem. This morning, we have a meeting with the South African representative, and we think that, yes, we need, at the regional level, to have a meeting, at least a meeting of legal experts, to discuss and to have a common position. There is a lot of things which are doing in Africa. You know, the Malabo Protocol, for example, focus especially on education, and there is a sort of extension of the jurisdiction of the future court on that particular topic. But we need to think a complementarity and a coherence between what it's doing at universal level and what it's doing at regional level. So for me, as from now, except South Africa, the African countries are not really involved in the process. So there is a lot of things to do. As I said, today is just the beginning of the process. We should work, we should discuss, and be sure that we can be more involved in the process and have something who can contribute to repair, to help the African population who suffer the crimes, the corporate crimes.
Okay, Apollon, you know, in a side event celebrated some few days ago, here, Godwin Ojo, your colleague from Environmental Rights Action, the executive director, really, Friends of the Earth Nigeria, he told that at least in his country and in Africa, the guiding principles were not enough at all. Would you like to comment that?
Yes, of course. I totally agree with Godwin, because it's also one of the arguments of the European Union to say we already have UN guiding principles. But you know, the principal weakness of the UNGP is the fact that it's voluntary. So the company could comply or not. And for us, it's a challenge. We have a lot of work doing every day for the company to say you have to comply with the UNGP. And there is nothing changing. We need something binding. We need something on which the national judges, on which the international judges could use to condemn all violations. As Godwin said, all the process, the trial with Shell, there is no enforcement. Because the fact that the UNGP are not binding. If you need the transnational companies to comply and to respect human rights, we need a binding instrument. And this is why we are here.
Okay, Apollon, just to finish, we are coming to the end of this week of negotiations. What is your evaluation of the week, especially inside of the negotiations itself, and your expectations for the future?
I was really happy to have all these countries sharing, and especially to have EU in the process. It was essential for us to have EU. It was also good to understand the arguments of the Commercial Chamber in Paris or the International Organization for Employers. It was very essential to have these arguments. You know, the most fact is that we need to discuss. And to discuss, we need to listen to each other. I think this is a good fact. But for me, it's just the beginning. Now, we need to discuss on the technical points. What is it possible? What is it is possible and how? So this is the main topic. And for me, it was really exciting to have this argument, to hear the voice of all that communities. Because in the fact, like Mandela said, if you are fighting for someone without him, you are fighting against him. And it is essential that the communities be there and to make their voice understand. So for me, the next step now is to move to something more technical before the next meeting next year. Many points have been arised, and we have different points of view. I hope that the chairperson will propose a text on which we can begin to discuss technically.
Okay, it was Apollon Kouagne, a senior lawyer of the Center for Environment and Development, Friends of the Earth Cameroon. Apollon, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jose.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.